I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday and happy May.
And happy halfway to Halloween. That's April 30th.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's fun.
It is. Welcome back to Killer Cuties Podcast.
Yeah, that's us.
We're here to talk about Suspiria. Both of them.
Yeah, the two.
The 1977 and the 2018.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. I mean, there's like more, right? Or no?
More Suspirias?
Yeah, there's more in like the original. There's like a trilogy in the original?
Yeah, yeah. The original's technically part of a trilogy about the three mothers, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, that's pretty much all there is to that. Okay. But we have news first.
Yeah, little ones.
Little news.
Or, I mean, mine's little. Well, it's not little. I don't want to under. You go first.
Short. Mayhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mine are a little bit longer than yours, but that's okay. Okay, so first, Josh Stolberg, who most normal people know from writing the three most recent installments in the Saw franchise, and then also Sorority Row from 2009, but who you specifically should know from writing Good Luck Chuck. Yeah, I thought you might like that. anyways, he has been teasing on Twitter that Sorority Row is getting a sequel. Sorry, it's not Good Luck Chuck. But the movie in 2009 technically did not do very well. However, it has garnered kind of a small cult following. I feel like a lot of the 2000s horror movies did, where it was like critically everybody was like, yeah, this sucks, but then everybody was kind of like, well, we're just having a good time. So a lot of those movies are well loved regardless of if they did well critically.
Yeah. Well, that's like all the horrors and all the comedies.
So true. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he posted a tweet saying the tire iron will be back, which once you watch that movie, you'll know. He also posted a photo of Leah Pipes' character Jessica Pearson in a makeup test with the caption, I hope you like sitting in the makeup chair. So, fans should be excited. It sounds like he's working on it. So that's fun. I remember not hating that movie, but also I was a little bit biased because the main character's name is Cassidy, and I never get to watch movies with my name in it, except for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but I never actually saw that because out of spite.
Yeah, I was literally just going to say, I can think of one.
Yeah, it's not that fun being like a 10-year-old girl and having your friend's dads be like, oh, Butch Cassidy! Just in case you're a dad and your daughter's friend is Cassidy, chill out with the Butch shit, okay?
Yeah. I never watched Butch Cassidy either.
Yeah. I heard
it sucks.
I watched
a lot of old westerns. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
It's an old western, right?
I think so. Wasn't he like an outlaw?
Probably, yeah.
Because he's real, right? Did I just make that up? If you know if Butch Cassidy is real or not, please let us know in the comments.
Yeah. Shouldn't you know? It's your namesake?
That is not. I was not named after Butch Cassidy.
You're named after a dog.
No, my sister's named after a dog.
Got it. But the cover story is that your sister's named after a river.
Yes,
or you're
correct.
Named after a river.
No, my dad told my mom that he picked my sister's name and told her it's a river in Ireland, which is true.
It is.
However, we then later found out that his favorite dog when he was a kid was named my sister's name, Shannon. And so she was named after a dog. The writing was on the wall. We just put the pieces together, you know?
Yeah, I love that for her.
Yeah. No, they chose my name because they wrote down like 50 names each, and that was the only one they had in common.
That's how we got my kid's name, too.
Oh. I was going to make a joke, but I won't make that now.
Oh, make it. Do it.
I was going to say, oh, big surprise, they got a divorce. But, but now. But you guys are obviously the exception to the rule, I'm
yeah,
sure.
The rule yeah. of one other family.
The rule of my family.
Well, not to bring the doom and gloom, but I have a quick in memoriam for us, too, actually. Actress Priscilla Pointer has passed away at the age of 100. She was a very prolific actress and had several notable roles in horror, including in Carrie, A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Blue Velvet, and Twilight Zone the movie. Also, Laura Park Lincoln has passed away at the age of 63. She was best known as the final girl in Friday the 13th 7, The New Blood. Sad.
Yeah, definitely. Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's always hard to transition after we do like an in memoriam. Yeah, because it's like you don't want to be insensitive.
Yeah.
But I have another horror news. I know I just talked about the teasers for Zach Cregger's upcoming movie Weapons. However, the first full-length trailer has now been released.
Oh, that was quick.
Yep. So you can watch that. We'll link it in the description. I watched it. It doesn't feel like it gives too much away. So that's exciting. I always like it when they leave a little bit of surprise, which I felt confident they were going to do after Barbarian, because that is... They definitely didn't spoil that one.
Yeah.
Cregger has said that this story for Weapons is weirder, twistier, and bigger than Barbarian. So that's interesting. God. Yep.
Okay.
Also, this part of the news is older news, apparently, but I didn't know about it until just recently, so I'm going to talk about it.
Okay.
Jordan Peele, his production company, Monkey Paw Productions,
mm-hmm.
They were in a bidding war for this movie, and Peele parted ways with two of his longtime managers because they lost the bid on this.
Oh, dear.
So, clearly, this is hardcore backed by Peele. He was not happy that they lost the bidding war. And I think it sold for, like, $38 million.
Holy shit.
So, hopefully, that's all good signs.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy if it flopped now, but...
Yeah, well...
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
No, nothing.
I loved Barbarian.
Nothing.
I'm gonna love Weapons if it kills me.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna hype it up too much, because that's when I get my feelings hurt.
Well, fun. I'm excited for Weapons.
Yeah, I have... I'm hopeful.
Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Quick news today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to give two brief synopses and backgrounds on one on each of the Suspirias. Released in 1977 and directed by Dario Argento, the original Suspiria is about a ballet student named Susie, played by Jessica Harper, who travels to Germany to attend ballet school. After a student is murdered, Susie begins feeling ill and hearing noises. As more people die, she begins to uncover the terrifying secret history of Tom's Dance Academy. Hard to be certain, but it looks like the film had a $4 million budget, which feels like a lot for a movie in the 70s, and it only made $47,000 at the worldwide box office, but nearly $2 million in North American rentals, so it has since earned itself a much larger following. It has a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and an 83% audience and 94% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. In its 2018 counterpart, directed by Luca Guadagnino, a ballet student named Susie, played by Dakota Johnson, travels to Germany to attend ballet school. In this version, Susie is much more passive to the witchy goings-on, while her friend Sarah, played by Mia Goth, masterminds the uncovering of the secrets of Marcos Dance Academy. I should also mention that the entire rest of the cast is played by Tilda Swinton. This one had a $20 million budget and grossed just over $7.5 million. People are less impressed with this one generally. It has a 6.7 on IMDb, a 3.7 on Letterboxd, and a 72% audience and 65% critics rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I got through that on my first try. Perfectly. Both of them.
Yeah. No, we cut nothing out from there.
I think some people wouldn't know that Tilda Swinton was so many characters, three of them.
I didn't when I first watched this until I looked it up later. I did. I knew something was not wrong Yeah. I mean, I knew that Helena Marcos, like, that was just obviously makeup because, you know, she was supposed to be this old decrepit thing.
Yeah.
So that I was like, I didn't realize it was Swinton because she's clearly made up. But with Klemperer, I thought it was just a young guy playing an old man. I thought it was just old age makeup because we already know I can clock that from a mile away. So I thought, why are they using old age makeup for this guy? Like, that's so weird. And then I looked it up later to see why. And I saw in the credit she was listed as everybody. So it was, that's how I found out.
Yeah, it was very clearly aging makeup, which is funny because Mia Goth is like always in movies with aging makeup, but whatever.
Just the one.
Yeah,
well, other one. But
yeah.
Yeah.
That's two. That's weird that it happened twice.
Yeah, that's, you know, valid.
But yeah, the aging makeup, you can't do facial expressions and your mouth moves funny. Like that kiss with the wife.
Yeah.
It was like, why are you doing that with your mouth? I mean, I knew long before then, obviously, but.
Yes. I do think, I don't know what it is about old age makeup that just, it never hits for me.
Yeah.
I think I excuse it in this one because I like their reasoning for Tilda Swinton playing the only male character, really, which was that they felt that this movie is about women for women, so he should be played by a woman.
Yeah.
The women should be in all of the lead roles, which I kind of love.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Although, twice they tried to get this movie made. Once in early 2000s and once when it actually got made. And both times the director was a man.
Yeah, that's true.
Should we talk about that story?
Sure.
In 2008, they announced the remake with David Gordon Green as the director. But all the way in 2014, 6 years later, Green dropped out because of budget concerns and some sort of legal issues. And then in September of 2015... Luca took over and announced Tilda Swinton and Dakota Johnson would be working with him. Just like a weird, doesn't happen very often where they had already announced for the 2008 version. They'd already announced a lot of the cast. They'd already done most of the work and started marketing it. And that movies don't get that far generally before they're canceled.
Yeah. I feel like it's not often that everybody's cast and it seems like it's moving ahead and then it just falls apart. But
yeah, weird.
Finally got made though.
Did it need to be made? I don't know. We're going to have to listen to find out what we think about that.
I think it was pretty clear from how you just said that, what you think.
But... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Who's to say?
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm. Also, just to round out the 2008 remake, Natalie Portman was supposed to star. I think that's right around the time as what's it called, too? Black Swan, right? That was in high school.
2010.
Yeah. Yeah, 2010. So yeah, close to that. So she ended up getting her ballerina horror movie after all.
She did.
Yeah. And Judi Dench was also rumored to play Madame Blanc.
Okay. I would watch it.
Yeah.
With that cast, sure.
The 2018 movie could also get a remake, and then they cast Natalie Portman and Judi Dench.
There you go.
That'd be great.
A remake of the remake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remakeception.
Yeah.
I think there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
To the
there's not.
Remake. First one didn't do well.
Yeah.
It didn't make enough money.
Yeah, they canned it. It was going to be a prequel, too.
Yeah, which I think makes sense because it was going to, I think it was going to be about, not about, but similar to Argento's trilogy where it's the three mothers. I feel like that's what they were going to do, but people didn't go see it.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. I think so.
I feel like the reception of the remake is better than the box office attendance.
Yes. Yeah, it didn't make money, but critically it did fine.
Yeah. And I guess maybe this is just me because I wasn't like a part of it, but I feel like that sort of highly produced, like high production value gore was not trendy yet.
In 2018?
Yeah.
I feel like it was starting to. Because that's after, I mean, Hereditary wasn't super gory, but it was kind of that elevated horror. Mm-hmm. She's sawing her head off. Midsommar came out the next year. I'm just naming Ari Aster films now, but like, you get my drift. Like, I feel like this fits in with that era of that shift to kind of more artistic takes on horror that still have some gruesome moments. This one probably more so than
any other ones you just mentioned.
That cliff scene in Midsommar, that'll get you.
Oh, yeah, but that was what, 4 seconds?
That's true. This one has more extended scenes, definitely. Yeah,
the mirror scene was a lot.
Did you even watch it?
I watched. I did not listen.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and I did not watch nor listen the hallway scene.
Yeah, I figured.
I knew that one was coming, thankfully.
Yeah.
We should talk about the original more than we are right now, but quickly.
Yeah, we kind of started backwards.
Yeah, sorry. The Hall of Mirrors scene where Olga's body is like twisting and stuff, she was just doing that.
Yeah, she's a contortionist.
Yes, very clearly.
I always love it when they do that, though.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they do it more so in possession movies.
Course.
Like any movie that's about an exorcism, main person's played by a contortionist.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. It's never been more important to also be able to act with your contortionism.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. You can take that tip to the bank.
Great.
One more thing, sort of tangent. Sorry. We're just going to keep talking about the remake.
That's fine. We can start here and work our way back.
Yeah. We'll go backwards.
Yeah.
Dakota Johnson completed 2 years of ballet training.
Yep.
Why didn't she put that much effort into her acting?
So I would like to know the same
thing. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I don't have any beef with her. I just don't understand. I do understand she's a Nepo baby, but she's not a good actress.
No.
Objectively.
Yeah. She was okay for the part she played in 50 Shades of Grey, which also leads me to the fact that every movie I've seen her in, she's been completely naked.
I've never seen 50 Shades of Grey.
It's fun.
That was just not for me, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I feel like I've seen her in things, though.
She's not in that much. She's in, you saw Madame Web.
I did not see Madame Web.
Oh.
Yeah, you guys held a showing and I wasn't there for it.
I didn't see it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. We played it in the Discord, but I wasn't there for it, so.
Yeah, me neither.
I kind of want to watch it just for the joke of it all.
Yeah, I mean, she obviously wasn't the best part of that movie.
No, but I also don't think she was the worst part, which is good for her.
That's crazy.
Yeah. She was in one episode of The Office. I remember that.
I've seen that.
She was in 21 Jump Street. I've seen that.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And she was apparently in The Social Network. I do not remember her in that film.
That's an old movie.
2010. That movie is like, it's definitely a film bro movie, but it kind of slaps.
Yeah?
Yeah, more movies about how CEOs are big fucking losers. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Eat it right up.
Have you watched all of the Uber documentaries and movies?
No.
They're fun. Same vibes.
Yeah.
Like look at all these men destroying companies.
Yeah, CEOs are big fucking losers.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Almost all of them. We shouldn't bucket them all.
We won't bucket them all, but I guarantee.
At least one.
I guarantee if you're listening to this right now, you can think of a CEO who's a big fucking loser.
Yeah.
Also, we talked about her acting. Fine. But back to the ballet training. Why? Because they're not dancing ballet in this.
It's more contemporary, for it's sure.
Definitely more modern contemporary dance. Yeah. Not a lot of ballet. Their feet are not pointed.
No.
They're flat the whole time.
Yeah, they make a point to slap their flat feet on the floor.
Yeah. It feels almost the opposite of ballet.
Yeah. At the beginning of watching the movie, I had made a comment in my notes about how they clearly didn't take the time to hire dancers for this film.
Oh.
But by the end, I changed my tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were very clearly talented dancers.
Okay, good. I thought I was going to have to defend that for a second there.
No, I think it was just like the first few scenes of them like just like stretching and she had just made it to the school and it just didn't feel quite as obvious as it, the first movie, as the original, where they're very clearly hiring ballerinas.
Which is funny because they don't even really dance in the first one.
It's definitely not as dance centered, that's for sure.
Yeah, I watched it today and I can't think of one scene where they're dancing.
Well, the one where she...
I know she walks into a room and holds onto the bar.
No, they're all dancing in the scene where she like passes out.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Dancing.
You're right. But that's like one scene.
Yeah, it's definitely not as
integrated. The remake, they focus. Yeah, they definitely incorporated that a lot more.
Yeah.
I just said what you said, but in a different way.
Yeah. The dancing is like the witchiness in the second one.
Yeah, I would say the witchiness is reflected in the dancing in the second one.
Yeah, exactly. I could not have said it better myself.
Yeah, so if I tried to say it better, I couldn't.
Hey, so how do you fucking stop and reach the fucking screen?
I'm so sorry.
First of all, my feet smell like popcorn. That's like really weird, right? That I should get that looked at or something?
Are you having a stroke?
That's toast.
Yeah, but don't you smell weird shit? Is it only toast?
Yeah, I think you smell like burnt stuff.
Oh,
when
okay.
You're stroking.
Well, good thing one of us knows. I don't know why your feet smell like popcorn.
Yeah, they smell like popcorn.
Delicious.
I guess. Anyway, and second of all, we should get it out of the way that this, the first movie, the original movie, the sound.
Oh, yeah.
Insufferable.
I kind of like it.
No, it was so loud. They had no business being that loud. It could have been good if it was just like adjusted, you know?
Yeah. The volume in some areas was a little, that sitar was going.
Yeah. And the... It's so funny you say it that way, but that's fine.
Oh, is it sitar?
Sitar, yeah.
Oh.
I love sitar music.
Okay.
Nora Jones's dad. I don't remember his name. I haven't listened to him in a while.
He plays the sitar?
Yes. He's like the sitar player. In the entire world.
That's pretty cool.
Ravi Shankar is his name.
Great.
Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. I mean, the music could have been good. It was just so repetitive and so loud and like, yeah. Anyway, I already said that, but.
Yeah. I feel like its purpose was kind of to put you on edge and be a little grating.
It worked.
Yeah.
Not in its favor, but it worked. And the director did say that.
Yeah.
That he played the score on full blast to create a mood on set.
He did. It was done by the band called Goblin. And I think Argento worked with them to compose it.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And it was done before, I think it was done before the movie was even made.
Cute.
So they were committed. They knew what they wanted.
So it not matching sitar. The film also makes sense.
I feel like it kind of did match, no?
No.
Oh.
Not even a little bit.
I felt the vibe in it. Are we talking about the original now?
Sure. Yeah, we can okay. We can hop back and forth, perhaps.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to talk about the dubbing aspect of it.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's very common in Italian films to be dubbed in English, I think, to make it more marketable.
Why not yeah, just film in English?
Well, a lot of the times they were, and then they just dubbed over it.
Why would they dub it and film it?
Well, because you can tell when you're watching it that they're saying the words, but it just doesn't perfectly match.
Oh, I thought it was just dubbed really well, like really reasonably.
No.
Oh.
No, a lot of the times they're speaking English.
Interesting.
Sometimes they're not. Specifically, Rudolf Schundler, who plays Professor Milius in the original,
mm-hmm.
he has a scene with Susie about, like, talking about the witches.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just speaking German to her the whole time. And she didn't, Jessica Harper, who plays Susie, she doesn't understand German. So he would have to, like, hit her leg out of view of the camera so that she would know when he was done. Because she didn't know when it was her turn to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Go ahead. You're going to say it. No.
You say it.
I've been talking this whole time.
Oh, I was just going to keep going with the dubbings.
Oh, I was going to talk about something else.
Oh, okay.
Her not understanding German is funny. Because
of the remake.
Yeah, in the 2018 version, she plays the wife of the doctor, who's like back from the dead, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And Luca Guadagnino reached out to her and was like, hey, do you want to do this? You have to speak German. She's like, yeah, I do. I speak German perfectly. Yep. And she did not speak German perfectly. She immediately got off the phone with Luca and called the Berlitz School to learn and practice German so that she could speak it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I was going to keep going about they dub everything, too. The background and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Harper said that during shooting, it would be weird because they'd be hearing stuff from a set over, someone hammering and building stuff on the other set. And that would just be going on while they were filming. And it didn't matter because they were cutting out all the background noise anyway.
Crazy.
I was like, that would be so hard to shoot.
Yeah. Especially like a film you have to get inside sort of a mood for. You have to be in like a specific mood, you know?
Yeah. There was also a scene, Udo Kier's appearance was really rushed. And so he had someone standing outside of frame just telling him his lines. And they weren't going to use the audio, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird way of filming that we don't do in the States. So it's, yeah. It feels very weird, but I'm sure in Italy it's normal.
Sure. Yeah, the folly was also not good. Too loud in some places, too quiet in others, and just like not awesome. But what can you expect from an Italian English dubbed movie?
From the 70s.
So it's not even like they filmed it in Italian and then just put English over it. They literally spoke different languages and then only put, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Weird. I thought they were doing us a favor by putting English over the Italian movie.
Nope.
Weird.
Yeah. Like half of them are speaking English.
That's good to know, because I definitely watched it and was like, wow, that did look just like what they said. So I thought they were, like, putting it in backwards. Because you know how they do that in, like, Japanese dubs or, like, in any anime, any English dub of an anime.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of make the dialogue match the mouth. They don't, like, go back and reanimate it.
Right.
So that's what I was imagining, is they're... Everybody's speaking Italian, and they're just really good at putting dialogue in that matches their mouth movements.
No, every time you thought that, they were probably just speaking
just
English.
Speaking English, yeah. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. I was, when I first started watching Italian horror movies, I didn't realize that that was a thing. And I kind of got into them a little later in life because I kind of got into foreign films in general a little bit late in life just because I had to pay so much attention to actually read the movie. That's some of my favorite movies, but, but yeah, I remember, I can't even remember what the first Italian movie I tried to watch was. It might've been Suspiria, but I kept trying to find one that was just subtitled because I don't like dubs typically. So I was like, what is happening? Like, why can I not find a subtitled version of any of these like foreign movies? Because they don't exist. That's not how they do it. They just dub it.
Yeah. I was doing the same thing for this one, is trying to find subtitles. And the annoying thing is that the original, the 77 version, is on the Internet Archive, so you can just basically watch it. But it's in Italian, weirdly, not in English. And there are like 45 different files for subtitles. They're either not in English or not synced up with the film. Yeah. So it's like...
They did dub it in Italian as well. Obviously, you saw that version. Yeah. I think Dario Argento even said that he was sad that Italian... Like, the people who watched the Italian dub of it didn't get to hear Jessica Harper's actual voice because he really loved her voice. So I guess he even prefers the American dub. English dub.
Is she who dubs the English... For herself?
Yeah, that's her voice, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good to know.
She is American.
Yes, I knew that much, yeah.
Okay, yeah. She speaks English natively.
Yeah, I knew that much. Well, yeah, because she lied about speaking German.
True, but she could have spoken Italian and still lied about speaking German. You know what I mean?
I suppose, yeah. I think they did also, the fact that I read about, I think what clued me in on it was that they were specifically looking to hire an American actress for that role.
That would give it away, yeah.
Yeah. And then here she is.
Yeah. Or the fact that she was in Night Bitch, which we talked about.
Yeah.
Playing a very American librarian.
Yeah. The casting practices in the 1977 version were a little unorthodox.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, well... Feels kind of like taking advantage, but I don't know, or like awkward. I don't know. It gives me vibes of like Ringling Brother, like Barnum and Bailey, like Ringling. What's the one with the guy, and it's Hugh Jackman,
The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, where he's just like going and like finding various people to perform for him. I don't know. Anyway,
I've never seen that. So
okay, well that's what he does. Is he goes and he finds various people to perform for him. In his show, and that just kind of like I just got that vibe here. Anyway, so what I'm talking about is that the woman playing Helena Marcos, the like old decrepit lady, they describe her as decrepit.
Mm-hmm.
According to Jessica Harper, that was a 90-year-old former prostitute who the director found on the streets of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mute Romanian servant, Pavlo, was just a guy at a post office that Dario Argento found and was like, you know what? You look good to me.
Like, you know, he's not forcing them to do this, right? Like, it's not.
Neither was.
I feel like this is what people dream about, is being discovered on the streets. And you're framing it as like this predatory behavior.
Well, because my experience of this is
in the fictional world of The Greatest Showman.
No. Well, first of all, that's not a fictional world. That's based on a true story.
Is it really?
Yes.
It's about a circus.
The circus. Yes. The circus.
The only
one. The one that started circuses.
Okay.
And he is known as a predatory person. He goes and he finds people on the street who are, you know, don't have a lot of money or like are in a hard spot, and says, okay, yeah, you can come perform for me and like I'll pay you or whatever. And like, just The Greatest Showman is not an accurate representation of the performer's actual feelings of what happened.
Got it.
Historically. I hope I'm not misspeaking, but I'm pretty sure that that is Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Barnum.
That's the Barnum.
Yeah, it's Barnum of Barnum and Bailey.
Interesting. I feel like it doesn't come off as predatory to me.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm glad I'm the only one.
Yeah, I feel like that's, I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up like wanting to be an actor, but like the idea of a director as famous as Argento seeing you in the post office and being like, hey, do you want to be in one of my most prolific movies ever made?
Not that
I'd
he
be
was,
like, yeah, of
he wouldn't
course.
Have known it was prolific.
Well, no, but
time.
Even still.
And he wasn't like a prolific director at the time either, was he? It was pretty early on in his career, maybe. He's still
Are
around
you just
kicking. Well, he did an interview in like 2020, like not even that long ago, so.
Yeah, but he started in the 70s. I mean, he had already had pretty successful movies before this.
Okay.
I know Deep Red came out before this. And I think that's like, that's considered one of the best movies he's ever made.
Oh, okay.
So.
I won't assume that it was predatory then. It just gave me the ick. It reminded me of that.
Okay. It gave me the jealousy.
Well, yeah.
I was like, damn, somebody put me in a movie.
Speaking of sort of its reception or the reception of Argento's movies, Entertainment Weekly ranked this as the 18th scariest movie of all time. And it's also just kind of widely considered to be one of the most disturbing films ever made because of its graphic violence, disturbing imagery, glorification of murder, which is so wild to say when the 2018 remake is right fucking there.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the movies that end up in those most disturbing movies ever made are very much a product of their time.
Yeah.
Like, this is on there because at the time this was made, this was crazy.
Yeah.
By the time the 2018 one came around, that was just a Tuesday, you know?
Sure. Yeah. He wanted it to be even more fucked up because he wanted all of the ballerinas or the students at the ballet school to be 12 years old.
No, older than 12.
12 is the oldest they're allowed to be.
Yes. Yeah. His original idea is that they would accommodate young girls no older than 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the studio was like, absolutely not. Yeah. What are you talking about? That's crazy. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was his dad because that's the producer. But
I didn't know that.
One Nepo baby created this movie, and then years later, a Nepo baby would star in the remake.
Wow. And that's why we aren't discovered on the street.
Because
nepotism.
Of Dakota Johnson, specifically.
Yeah. Damn it, Dakota again.
She's taken all my roles. But yeah, he kept the script the same. He didn't change it to age up the characters, which is why a lot of the times they're very naive and the dialogue feels a little bit young.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he also adjusted the height of the doorknobs so that they would be higher, so it would look like they were shorter than they are.
The cinematography, or maybe not the cinematography as much as like the editing, the color editing, was supposedly inspired by the color editing in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
The 1937 version, obviously. My favorite fun fact about the old one is the maggot scene, which is like a really iconic scene, and I feel like they really missed the opportunity to remake that in some way other than what they did in the 2018 version.
You just know it's iconic because you just read it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody finds out it's iconic at some point in their life.
Until you just watched it.
Okay, well, that's not even the fun fact. The fun fact is that when they're dropping them from the ceiling, it's grains of rice.
Yeah, it is. In the wide shots. It is. A lot of people were sad that it wasn't in the remake.
Yeah. I mean, that was I don't want to call it iconic because you'll lose your mind, but it was like the most interesting scene that stuck with you. That and the barbed wire.
Yeah.
Yeah, the barbed wire scene was hard to watch.
But I also, sometimes I feel like if you're going to do a remake, you almost can't include the really iconic scenes. Because you can't, you can't do it again.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Yeah. I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure if you try to do the most iconic things from it.
Yeah. I mean, they did do like a little, maybe like an homage to it in the 2018, the bug scene, because there's like the, when she's having like the dreams or whatever, there's like a real split, maybe 1 second thing of worms.
Yeah.
Which is like, if that was their intention, that's a nice little homage. I mean, they included the bugs. It's like, you know.
I feel like it, yeah. Not to put intention on it, but I feel like that was a subtle way of them referencing the maggot scene.
Yeah. Speaking of the barbed wire scene,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't real barbed wire. And I think you could kind of tell that even in the scene, like there wasn't any spikes or anything on it.
Yeah.
Stefania Cassini is the actress whose death is by barbed wire. She said that it was still incredibly painful because it got wrapped around her really tightly and pinched her skin really painfully.
Yeah.
She hated filming it.
I could see that.
Yeah. Me too. Any other fun facts about the original, or should we flip-flop over to the new one?
Yeah, let's flip-flop.
Okay. Chloe Grace Moretz is in this.
She is.
And I think she was, I don't know if she was the top build, but she was up there, and she's only in it for like 6 minutes.
Yeah, she's not in it very much at all, but I'm pretty sure she does have top billing.
Yeah.
At least on IMDb, she does.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it felt very Scream of them.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. Yeah, it did. I'm not like her biggest fan either, if I'm being honest.
Oh, what did she do to you?
I don't know. Nothing.
She's not a fan.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen her in enough to feel one way or another about her.
I think she's in House.
That would make sense.
Everyone is in House at least once.
That's true.
But maybe she's not. Wouldn't that be funny? She's best known for her work in the sci-fi thriller series, The Peripheral. That's what she's best known for.
Absolutely not. I don't see House on her.
Yeah, by the way. She was in Amityville.
She was in Amityville. She's actually been in a lot of horror remakes.
Yeah.
She was in Dark Shadows. She was in Let Me In. She was in Amityville. She was in Carrie. She was in this.
Yeah, she is Adam's in Family. She is in an episode of House.
Is she? Okay.
I think so.
Oh, I didn't see it on her IMDb.
Maybe not.
Yeah, she wasn't. But she's been in other stuff, so. I guess I have seen more of her movies than I thought.
She's in a lot of stuff.
She is. I guess she's just never really made an impression on me one way or another.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm like just not, I'm just like not a fan of hers. Like, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I thought she did fine in this. She's sure. Not in it for very long, so.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. I did like Mia Goth in it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like she carried. Between her and Tilda.
Yeah, I feel like Tilda carried. But Mia Goth did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming from me, and I've already said I'm not that big of a fan of her, so. The remake, the screenplay was done by David Kajanik. And he did extensive research on witchcraft to prepare for it. He studied a lot of contemporary German literature and stuff about that period and other films they kind of had to do with that. Also, though, he admitted he's not a fan of the original. So, interesting. I mean, I guess it's a job, right? So,
I guess. I feel like there should be more attention to people who are passionate about the project. I don't know. Like nowadays,
I guess that's fair, but I'm also like, I feel like we think about arts differently than we do other jobs, which is fair because it is a lot of the times about creativity and about passion.
Yeah.
But it's also a job.
But
like if you're a screenwriter and you get offered to do a remake of Suspiria, you'd probably take it for that paycheck, regardless of if you're a fan of the original.
But nowadays, you wouldn't, I mean, not nowadays, but like, well, yeah, nowadays in like the corporate world of jobs, you're not getting offered a job unless you are qualified and have like a passion for, like, they, I feel like they look for that, you know?
No, they look for people who lie about having a passion for it.
Right, but
nobody actually has a passion for jobs.
I mean, I kind of have one for mine. Okay, I like my job.
Okay, calm down. But I'm just saying, for the most part, a lot of the times people are just saying they have a passion for whatever they're doing in corporate.
I suppose.
Paycheck's a paycheck, baby.
The screenwriter, at the very least, has to watch the and be a fan of the original. That's all I ask.
I don't think they have to be a fan of it, but I do think they have to understand it. And yeah. I think he did.
Yeah, you got that out of the remake?
An understanding of the original?
That he had an understanding of the original.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You didn't?
No.
Okay. What about it felt like he didn't understand it?
I feel like it had a different message.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Then we're all like, I think the original was more about witches.
Yeah. Well,
there wasn't a lot of the, like, allegory subtext as there was in the remake. But I also think when you remake something, it's usually you taking on a different approach and doing something a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was their way of adapting it.
What is it an allegory of?
Fascism.
No? I guess I don't understand fascism enough to know whether or not I agree with you.
So you don't have to agree with me. They've said that it is. So I'm right, period.
Okay.
But no, yeah, it's basically about the rise of fascism as, I mean, unfortunately, we're still seeing today, but that we started to see, if you remember what happened a couple years before 2018, we had an election that proved that fascism was on the rise. So that was kind of the inspiration behind it. But yeah, that's why they talk about it's set years after World War II. They reference that a lot. They reference the camps. And yeah, it's basically supposed to be about how appealing it is and how easily you can get sucked into fascism.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of really great essays that can talk about it much more eloquently than I can. So I definitely recommend reading up on it. But yeah. It's
super interesting because I felt like the historical context of the film was very out of place and unnecessary.
Some people did. Yeah, I feel like there's definitely mixed opinions about that.
I mean, had I known that it was this, like, one-to-one, that might have been helpful for me to appreciate the historical context a little bit better.
Yeah, I feel like knowing that that's the main message of the film would definitely help.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any other fun facts about the remake?
I don't think so. We did a good job weaving them into each other.
Yeah. Talked a little bit both.
Yeah.
We've been talking for an hour. If you want more, look it up.
I mean, or like ask us and we'll say more.
Oh, yeah. Let us know if you want Suspiria part 2.
Yeah. We'll really dig into that fascism thing.
Yeah. I'd have to, like,
study.
Yeah. Make sure I'm speaking more eloquently than I usually can.
Yeah.
But it is really interesting. Like I said, you can Google Suspiria remake fascism and tons of stuff will pop up. And you can find all sorts of stuff. People who think that the movie did it well, people who think that they didn't. Lots of different interpretations.
Interesting.
Yeah. Even like Susie's character herself, some people interpret the ending to mean that she's a liberator of fascism and she's coming in to stop it. Some people interpret her as a revival of fascism, that she's coming in and dressing it up in a different way, but starting that whole cycle over. So sure. Up to interpretation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we rate it?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. How scary did you think it was?
The original or the remake or both?
Excellent question. Thank you. Both. Start with the old one and then end with the new one.
Great. So the original, I gave a 0.5 out of 5. I don't think it's scary at all.
It's the 18th scariest movie of all time.
not on my list. and then the remake, I gave it a 1. It's not really, I didn't give it half a point for being scary. I gave it half a point because there were some scenes that made me feel really anxious and I didn't know where else to put that. So I put it in there. I don't know why the jumping scenes, it put me on edge. I didn't like it.
Yeah, and then nothing happens.
I liked it, but I didn't. Yeah, but that's kind of like.
Yeah, I was especially almost worse. Those scenes.
Watch yeah, that's
them
fair.
In silence.
Yeah, if you don't like the breaking, that's yeah. scary.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you give them?
I gave the original 1 out of 5.
Okay.
I didn't have a lot of time to be scared because I was so focused on the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like it was actually a reasonably timed film too, 1.5 hours.
Yeah, the perfect length.
Yeah, bring back 1.5 hour long movies.
Agree.
So yeah, I gave it a 1, and then the new one, the 2018, I gave it 2, just because like the tone and to your point, I was pretty like
on edge.
Guarded. Yeah.
That's valid. How sexy did you think they were?
I gave the original 1.5.
Okay.
It was like, yeah, whatever. It's a bunch of women living together and dancing, doing little dances, you know?
Yeah.
So 1.5. And then the 2018 version, I gave it 2.5.
Okay.
I don't know. I there was a lot happening. I was very confused in how to rate a woman in old man makeup kissing another woman. That confused me quite a bit.
Okay.
But there was like, you know, like a lot of like blood and women and nudity and dancing.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
We had opposite feelings.
Oh, okay.
I gave the original a 3 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
The colors, the cast, the vibe, Dario Argento himself said that this movie could be interpreted as very lesbian. Yeah. So I think the vibe is very sexy in the original. Remake, not so much. There's like a slight. I gave it a 1.5.
Okay. Because
there's like a slight, you know, there's the nudity, there's the women. But the vibe, no. The vibe's not sexy.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not a man in sight.
As opposed to the original where there's men running rampant?
Well, no, I just mean, like, for a movie where there's not a man in sight, a 1.5 is crazy.
Yeah, I think it's more so, like, what's happening. Like, the twisting and the breaking and the maggots, but the bugs and the decomposition and all of that stuff. Like, that vibe is not sexy. And also muted winter tones for the colors, not sexy. Luca, I know you didn't mean it to be, but it's not.
It's very Twilight.
Sure.
It is.
I no, I believe you.
I've now gotten to talk about Twilight twice in this episode.
How fun.
Yeah. How fucked up did you think it was?
The original, I gave 0.5 for the maggot scene because I don't like bugs. So I gave it a 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know it doesn't bother you at all. You love bugs, you fucking weirdo.
I do like bugs.
I don't like bugs. I don't want them on me. I don't want them in my hair. That's my fucking nightmare. And then the remake, I gave a 2 out of 5. Because it's much more fucked up. Specifically the mirror scene and then the hooks going into her. That was quite a bit. What about you?
I gave the original a 1.5.
Okay.
The heart stabbing.
Yeah.
The barbed wire.
Okay.
I don't think we've seen like a barbed wire yet, have we? Oh, Saw, is that in Saw 1? Barbed wire is in Saw 1?
Yes.
Okay, so we have seen.
Well, it's razor wire, but sure.
Did we do an episode on Saw? Yeah, we did, yeah.
We sure did, yeah.
I don't remember
a long
if we
time
just
ago.
Watched it or if we... okay, yeah. 1.5. And I gave the new one a 4.
That doesn't surprise me. It's a lot of things that you don't like.
Yeah, and they were like a really long intense gore, like just like the heads exploding, the hooks and the squelching and like the torture aspect of it. There's just like a lot to digest.
Yeah.
And I did. Yeah. To your point, I feel like I did myself a disservice, or like the movie did me a disservice, weirdly, because I didn't get to listen to a lot of it.
Yeah.
I'm just like waiting for stuff to happen. Just a little more context. The Wikipedia synopsis of the film is like 5 paragraphs long. And the second paragraph, the first 2 sentences are, okay, they have their little like meeting to decide who's the queen mother or whatever. And then the next sentence is, oh, she's running away and she falls and breaks her ankle or whatever.
Oh.
That's like the second paragraph of the synopsis. And those things happen like 1.5 to 2 hours apart from each other. Like,
yeah, the remake is 1 hour longer than the original.
Yes. Yeah.
It's much more drawn out.
Yeah. But all to say, like, the synopsis did not help me to be able to
know when it was coming.
Know when anything was coming, yeah. So, it was really hard for me to watch for that reason.
Oof, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right, overall, what did you think of Suspiria 1977 and 2018?
I just realized I never wrote what I thought. I didn't write down. I had to wing it.
She's winging it?
Okay. I'm winging it. The original...
Yeah.
I liked the much more traditional plot line. I liked the more traditional sort of like final girl vibe where she gets out and she like sort of defeats the evil with the explosions. And
yeah.
I could not, however, get past the sound of it all. I had almost the same review and complaints with 28 Days Later, where just like the sound was so grating that it really took me out of the film. But I did still like the plot. I liked the cast. I liked the acting. The dub was weird. I'm going to give it a 3. A 3, yes.
Listeners can't see, but I held up 3 fingers before she said it because I knew that was what she was going to rate it.
I was also making the with my mouth.
No, I knew.
Okay.
I know you're going to write the next one, too.
Oh, yeah? Write it on a piece of paper.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I'll write it in our chat, and then I'll send it when you say it.
Okay. Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready. Oh, am I giving it to you now? Usually I talk, and then I'd say it.
Okay, yeah, talk, and then I'll anticipate it.
When I say I gave it a...
You're okay.
Then you...
Go for it.
Okay, so the remake didn't do it for me. I had a really hard time with it. There were just too many things going on. Like, the Mennonite thing was, like, very, like, in the background and seemed unnecessary. The Occupied Germany thing seemed unnecessary. I took a lot of issue with the red scene. Like, basically the ending scene. That felt so... amateur to me. I don't know why. I know it was like a very artistic choice, but it felt very amateur, and it was not helped by the fact that Dakota Johnson cannot act.
Yeah.
I feel like had a different actress been in that lead, that scene would have been better, but a finale that poor really kind of put the last nail in the coffin for me. I do think I should give it another try, and I would give it another try because now I know what to brace myself for and I can sort of like take in what I'm supposed to be taking in.
Yeah.
It was really distracting having to like not listen to any of the movie. Given that, I gave it a 2.5.
Oh wow. See, I undershot
1.5.
it.
Yeah.
I thought you really did not like it at all.
But I also don't think I gave it the right chance. It just wasn't like a movie for me, and that's not fair.
Hearing your complaints about it, I would love to see what you would have rated Mother, not knowing the context going into it.
Yeah.
because your hatred for this movie, a lot of it has to do with not knowing the context.
Yeah.
Because even the Mennonite stuff, literally they have said that it's about how susceptible people in the arts and religious people can have of going into fascism. So that's why that's her background.
Interesting. But, it just felt like such like unneeded. It just felt unneeded. I think, and it's not a commentary on fascism if it's literally portraying fascism.
Well, it's a commentary on the rise of fascism.
Okay. But I don't know. I don't know. Whereas Mother is very creative adaptations of, I don't know. But I did say in the Mother episode, we have an episode on Mother, by the way. It's our Easter episode.
It is.
I wish I could know what it was like to watch that movie not knowing the context. But it was way more fun knowing it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll give this one another try for sure, for sure.
Yeah, I think you should one day.
Yeah. All right, what'd you give it? Wait, I'm gonna type what I think you're gonna say.
Oh, okay.
I think it's fun. Okay, this is for the first one.
Okay. I like the first one a lot. I think it's beautifully made. I love the use of color in it. I think it's a fun story. Who doesn't love witches? The dubbing really doesn't bother me. It's a little not what you're used to, but I don't know. Didn't impact me, and the sound doesn't bother me like it bothers you at all.
Yeah.
So all in all, I give the original a 4.
Ah, I win! You did it.
Yes, a 4 out of 5. I think it's a classic for a reason. I'm not known for loving older movies, but I do like this one.
Yeah.
A lot. And then the remake.
Mm-hmm. I already got my hand.
Oh, great. I don't hate the way you hate it at all. I actually think it's a pretty decent remake. I like Luca Guadagnino, too. Yeah. I think he's a very good director. And I like the commentary on fascism. I think it's really interesting, especially since it's been 7 years since that came out, and we're seeing it back more than ever right now. So it hits home. It hits home.
Yeah. My understanding of fascism is what is happening right now, I know, is fascism. That's my entire understanding of it.
Yeah, so like World War II should also help. also fascism.
I know hardly anything about World War II except Pearl Harbor. I know everything about Pearl Harbor.
That's crazy, because I feel like there's 9 different years in school that you learn about World War II. They talk about it so much.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it was a big deal. It was
a huge deal, and it was letting it happen again. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all in all, I give the remake a 3.5.
I'm so fucking good at this.
Yeah, that was really good. That was pretty good. But yeah, I think it's a really decent remake. And honestly, it would be on par, but the only thing that I'm not really a fan of, I miss the colors. Bring back the colors.
Yeah.
And Luca Guadagnino light some of those dark scenes because I can't see. I can't see. I'm watching it in the daytime.
Oh, I didn't have that problem at all. Weird.
I did. It was mainly in the scene, I think, when Sarah was wandering about the halls and stuff. It was just, it was really dark.
I didn't want to see that scene anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
But maybe I didn't notice because I wasn't watching.
You were hiding. But yeah, that is one like minor complaint. Dakota Johnson's not, she's not a good actress. She's not the worst in this, but she's not good.
Well, of the actresses.
Oh yeah.
She is.
Yeah. 100%. It's not her worst acting job, I think, but, and then I get the whole twist of her being Mother Suspiriorium. I get that in context of the fascism thing, because I know they wanted the ending to be ambiguous, and whether or not she's a liberator or a perpetrator is kind of left up in the air in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But from an allegory point of view, I think it worked. From a plot point of view, it didn't really make a lot of sense.
Sure.
What do you mean she's the mother and she's just like vibing at school the whole time and not just immediately coming in? I don't know. That plot point felt a little bit weak to me. I get it in terms of the allegory, but yeah, again, plot-wise, I don't think that twist worked as well as in the original, where you don't know that it's witches until the very end. But
yeah, that was one of my thoughts. So it's like,
see, I kind of did like in the remake, though, that they showed the inner workings of it as it was going on. Because I think a lot of people who watch the remake watch the original. They're going to know. So you already know.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that aspect of it. But then I feel like they felt like they had to do something different in the ending then, which is fair. But that, yeah, that plot point was just a little bit weak to me. But
yeah, it just makes it lose some of its like standalone value for sure to me. Like, because
that's fair. Like, it helps having the context of the original.
Yeah.
In that nature.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like both.
Good. Would we survive?
Wow. You remembered.
What do you mean? You're just always the one who says it. I never get to say it.
I know. And every time I say it, you go, oh, I forget about this part.
Yeah.
Should I go first?
Yeah, why not? I asked.
I'm scared. I didn't write anything down. I always write down all my notes and I answer everything before we start. And I didn't write anything down because I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. Okay, I'm in a dance academy run by witches. I feel like it's like 50-50, right? Do they choose me as one of the vessels? Or am I just another girl that goes to this school minding my own business?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a mind my own business type of gal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to investigate the halls and see what's going on. If I find out my dance academy teachers are witches, that's none of my business.
Yeah.
So I think I live.
Fair.
Thank you. What about you?
I feel like I'm pretty susceptible to, like, cult things.
Does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I'm at the very least getting taken advantage of, if not moited.
Okay. So, in both?
Well, the first one, there was like an out, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you're the main character, you get out. In the second one, if you're the main character, like, you're already part of it.
Yeah. But she lives. Are you the mother?
Is she alive?
Yeah. Okay, so you think you live in the original but not in the remake?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because the original is less like, hey, join our cult. Like, it's a cult. Like, yay, cult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not really accepting new members.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like them.
Yeah. Whereas in the 2018, it's a little more like,
we're all in this together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which mother are you going to worship kind of thing?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would pick one.
You absolutely would. Which mother would you pick?
the one that keeps me alive, honestly.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I don't know. But I would pick one. I would die. I'd be dead eventually. Yeah.
Okay.
It would kill me.
Rip.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to predict next week's movie plot?
Sure.
Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
Exciting. We're going to be watching You're Next.
With an apostrophe?
Yes, you are next.
Got it. Okay. Just making sure. As opposed to like possessive, like.
You're next. You're next.
Like my next?
No, it's you are next.
Yeah, I am next. Got
yes.
it. Okay. I feel like this one's a comedy. It's giving Shaun of the Dead vibes.
Mm.
British.
Yeah.
Older. 90s, mid-90s.
For sure.
Comedy. Much like Shaun of the Dead, you know, I think. I don't know. I haven't actually seen that movie.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Smile.
Oh, okay.
In that.
You're next.
It's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's my thoughts exactly.
It's just Smile, but a comedy.
Yeah, but it's not like you don't see the smile and then they die in front of you and then you're next. It's like something is past. It's not a smile, but something is past and then you become next. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm kind of understanding
yeah.
the vague idea that you're throwing out here.
Yeah.
Okay. anything else? Or?
You don't have to see the person die.
Oh, okay.
But you do get a, you get told that you're next by the previous person. And it's like a phone call kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So kind of like Scream, where there's like phone calls.
Got it.
And then you
but
die.
Like Supernatural.
Yeah.
You and get instead the phone call.
Right. But it's funny also. Remember, it's funny.
And it's hilarious.
It's a comedy.
Yeah.
So they get a phone call and all they say is you're next. And then you follow the characters. They go through. It's like a little like mini anthology of all these different characters going through their cycle of
them being next.
I'm dying. You're next. And then they die.
Incredible.
And then the next person is like at the end of their little, you're next. And then they die.
Is that all the voice says is you're next?
Yeah. That's all. Yeah.
Okay. And what kills them? Is it like a ring situation or is it just they die in a comedic way?
Yeah. It's comedy. Perhaps they are being told by the comedic villain, the villain that says things funny. He says funny things.
Okay, so there is like a villain figure.
Yeah,
it's not an entity. Okay.
It could be an entity and still be a villain.
Great. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But it's funny.
It's no, I get it. It's hilarious. Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It's going to be the funniest movie we've ever seen.
It's going to be so funny. Rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah.
IRL. No. But you did describe like 9 other movies that I've seen, so that's something.
That, yeah, that's exciting.
I have seen a movie where you get a call and then you die. I've seen 2 movies, actually. I've seen a movie kind of like Smile where something follows you around. And I've seen hilarious films, so, you know, it's none of those, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we just did One Cut of the Dead, so I wouldn't put another comedy. It's crazy that you didn't realize that, but
the name, the title was giving Bodies, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And like Happy Death Day. You're next. Or
You're next.
Not hide and seek. What's that one called? What's that one called? Where they're playing hide and seek.
Ready or not.
Ready or not. You're next. You know what I mean?
It does. No, I see the vision.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not though.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but
girl can dream.
Yeah, you can laugh if you want to while you're watching. If the mood strikes, feel free. Yeah.
That doesn't make it funny.
It could if you try hard enough.
Okay. Do you find that when you're watching movies laying on your back, you laugh harder?
No.
Oh. Just me then. Okay. I definitely do.
I fear that is a unique experience, but...
No, it's not.
All right, tell us in the comments if you laugh harder when you're on your back.
It's a thing.
When you're upright.
I'm pretty sure it's a thing.
Sure. Not for me, for you maybe, but not for me. Anyways, I'm sad you didn't like Suspiria and the remake very much, but that's okay. I do, so.
Yeah, that's what matters.
That's what matters is that I got to rewatch 2 movies that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And fuck your feelings, I guess.
Well, my feelings aren't hurt. My eardrums, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I'm going to go wash my feet.
Thank you for letting everybody know.
Because they smell like popcorn, remember?
I do remember, yeah. 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 Great. Well, we'll see you next week for your next.
My next.
Your next.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
Bye.